Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Nun Zayin. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zechanish Maslibig Avayel of Ashmuel. We are starting the Gemara today in Nun Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud. Mirtz Hashem, today we're going to finish the seventh parak of the Masechta and continue on to the eighth parak. One more week of the Masechta as we round out the end of the. The end of this Masech. The next Masech coming up is Sota, just a little over a week from today. Mishnah starts off. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, "In the name of Rabbi Yeshua, kol tumah min hameish nazir megaleach alah. Any tumas meis where the nazir is going to do giluach, chayav malam albias mikdash. So one would be liable of going into the base of mikdash while having that kind of tumas meis." Just as a brief background to understand the first line of our Mishnah, so you'll recall that there really are two Mishnayos that we've been focusing a lot of time on, the Mishnah on Memtes and the Mishnah on Nundal. The Mishnah on Memtes Amud Beis, gives a listing of Tumas Meis where if the Nazir comes into contact with it, so he's Megalech, he shaves his head. Shaving his head is a code for he's a Nazir B'Tumma, and as a result of being a Nazir B'Tumma, so he has to be Matar himself, like anyone who's Matame Meis, and he's got to restart his Nazir, so all the days that he counted earlier no longer count. They are totally removed off record, and he's got to start all over again. And so the Mishnah Memtes gave a number of examples where you're Tame Meis, and the Nazir would be Megalech. On the other hand, Aval, the Mishnah Nundalim, Nundalim Adalef, gives a listing of those types of Tumas Meis, where although the person is Tame Meis, nevertheless, a Nazir would not have to be Megalech. What happens to all the days that he counted? They're still there. They're on record. During his Tahara process, he's going to postpone his counting, so he'll be on a rain delay, but all the days that he counted earlier are not to be removed. He does not need to be Megalech. He does not need to shave. He does not need to bring... he does not need to bring karbanos, and when he becomes Torah, he'll resume his counting. That's what the Mishnah says. Anasosas akodmim. The Mishnah on the top of Nundal Amud Beis. Anasosas akodmim. Amaskal mona miyad. He continues counting right away. V'karban ein lo, and there's no karban. And then the Mishnah pointed out, which was yesterday's daf, that for certain tumos, a Nazir doesn't even have to interrupt his counting. So for azav, azava, yemei hezger, Mitzorah Muzgar. So for those types of tumas, a Nazir doesn't even have to interrupt his counting. Good, so there basically are, in the world of Tumas Meis, there's basically two levels. Level A is it's Tumas Meis, and the Nazir would be Megalech. Level B, it's Tumas Meis, but the Nazir would not have to be Megalech. And for the most part, this distinction in the world of Tumas Meis is halacha. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, for the most part, which we'll discuss in just a little bit from now. In the meantime, our Mishnah over here records the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says in the name of Rabbi Yoshua that if it's a level A Tumas Meis, and again, the terminology we're using now of level A and level B is that Tumas Meis, where the threshold is the Nazir would be Megalech, and level B is also Tumas Meis, but the Nazir would not be Megalech. So if it's level A Tumas Meis, so then somebody walking into the Beis HaMikdash having that kind of Tumas Meis is subject to the Isser of Beis HaMikdash. He is now in violation of the Isser in the Torah of walking into the Azara while being a Tamei Meis. We already spent some time early in Masechta discussing that when a person is a Tamei Meis, he can go into Yerushalayim, he can go into the Har HaBayis, but where he cannot go is into the Azara. The Azara is what's called Machne Shechina, and a Tamei Meis can't go into Machne Shechina. What Armish is teaching us is that to be in violation and to have a liability of B.S. Mikdash, so it's not all Tumas Meis, but rather Tumas Meis level A. Level A meaning that if you were a Nazir, you'd be Megalech. That's what the Mishnah is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Let's read that line of the Mishnah one more time. Amar Rabbi Elez, Mishnah Rabbi Yeshua, kol Tumas Meis, kol Tumah min HaMeis Nazir Megalech Alaha. So if it's the type of Tumas Meis where the Nazir would be Megalech, Chayav and Alav B.S. Mikdash, so one would be in liability if they walked into the base of Mikdash with having that kind of Tumas Meis. V'chol Tumas Meis she'ena nozim megalech ala, ein chayavin ala al b'yas mikdash. However, if you only have level B Tumas Meis, meaning any of the Tumas Meis that are discussed in the Mishnah on Nundalid, so for that, you're not going to be liable for going into the base of Mikdash. Obviously, the Mishnah is not condoning, the Mishnah is not permitting one to go into the base of Mikdash if they only have level B Tumas Meis. It just simply means that you're not chayav. It's an isser kares for somebody to go into the base of Mikdash while having Tumas Meis. what the Mishnah is being mechadish is that that's only true. The Issur Karis is only there if it's level A, not level B. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who quotes the name Rabbi Yeshua.
Where did they do the sprinkling of the Paradim?
No, the Paradim was done outside the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, the Torah says. So I'm Rabbi Meir Lote Zukala Min Hasheretz. So Rabbi Meir says, I don't agree. This shouldn't be any lighter than Sheretz. We know that if a person touches a Sheretz and goes into the Beis Hamikdash, so he's in violation of Beis Hamikdash. So Rav Meir says, I don't understand your distinction. How can you distinguish between a level A Tumas Meis and a level B Tumas Meis? Even if it's level B, still Tumas Meis, and then you're going to go into the Beis Hamikdash? And Rav Meir supports his argument with, you know, Sheretz. Touching of a sheretz, you've come into contact with an avatumah. It's not even tumas meis. And meanwhile, you're at the point now where you cannot walk into the base of mikdash. So how can level B tumas meis be any lighter, be any more lenient than a simple contact with the sheretz and going into the base of mikdash when coming into contact with the sheretz? Now, in terms of a counter argument, I mean, the Gemara doesn't really discuss how Rabbi Eliezer would respond. But the easy response, I don't know about easy, but a simple response would be, look, you can't compare one type of tumah and another type of tumah. Meaning, in the world of tumas meis, there are levels. And the Torah is only mechayev you on level A, not level B. In the world of sheretz, it's a totally different type of tumah. And it's apples and oranges. You can't compare the two. So maybe that's how Rabbi Eliezer would argue the point, but the Gemara doesn't focus right now in terms of the machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir, but the Gemara focuses on the following. Rabbi Eliezer mishum Rabbi Yeshua gamala v'amishum Rabbi Yeshua bar mama gamala. So the Gemara says, in terms of a Kabbalah, Rabbi Eliezer got this halacha. Where did he get the halacha from? So he got the halacha from what the Mishnah describes as Rabbi Yeshua. As a general rule, when you see the word Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua is not identified of who it is, so we assume generally it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya is how the Mishnah describes as the Mesorah. This Mesorah came from Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya over to Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar is telling us this halacha in the name of Rabbi Yeshua bar Chananya. However, the Gemara points out, we know, we're going to see another brisa in just a second, right now, where it didn't come from Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, but rather came from a different Rabbi Yeshua ben Mama. And the Gemara is basically going to spend time discussing Mesorah, because we know, yeah, Mesorah obviously is super important. Everything in Torah Shabbat is based on a Mesorah, and the Gemara now is just is quipping with the idea that the Mishnah is not giving us a proper version of what the Mesorah was. And the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Tanya, the Gemara we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kishalachti Ardaskaya. So Rabbi Elazar describes that when he went to the town of Ardaskaya. So, and oh, by the way, and on the side of the Gemara, you see that in the Braisa, it is, there's another Girsa where it's not Rabbi Eliezer, but it's rather Rabbi Elazar. And I'll explain a little bit later on why that probably is more accurate, more correct. I mean, we're spending a lot of time discussing Mesorah and who said it from whom, and give a proper, you know, proper attribution. So I'll explain momentarily why it's probably Rabbi Elazar. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Elazar Kashalach Daskaya Matzas, yes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Patar Rosh. So I came across Rabbi Yeshua, and that's his name. So the son of Patar Rosh, Yoshev Adonofne Rabbi Meir, Bahalacha. And he was discussing in front of Rabbi Meir, and he said the following, and what did he learn? Exactly what we just saw in our Mishnah. The distinction between Tumas Meis level A, Tumas Meis level B. And you're only going to be chayiv on Bias Hamikdash if you go into the Beis Hamikdash, meaning into the Azara, having Tumas Meis level A, not Tumas Meis level B. And this I received as a tradition from Rabbi Yoshua ben Petarosh. And I said to him, in other words, this is Rabbi Meir's response, I don't agree, which is exactly the same response we saw back in our Mishnah. He says, are you at all an expert in the statements that were taught by Rabbi Yoshua ben Marmal? He says, yes. So, Rabbi Yoshua ben Marmal, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, and this is a that I traditionally I got from Rav Yeshua Bar Mam. Also now, Rabbi Lazar is giving attribution, and here in the Brisa, he says that he received it from Rav Yeshua Bar Mam. Not like our Mishnah says, where it's Rav Yeshua Stam Rav Yeshua, which is Rav Yeshua Bar Chananya, and that is called Toma Min Amesha. Now the Megalei Chalav Chayavan Mishum Beis Hamikdash. V'Chol Toma Min Amesha Ina Now the Megalei Chalav Ein Chayavan La Mishum Beis Hamikdash. Good. So Rabbi Lazar basically says, I have it as a tradition from Yeshua Bar Mamal. Okay. Now, our Mishnah is not wrong, by the way. Meaning, he did get it from Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, but not directly. He got it from Rav Yeshua Bar Mamal, who himself got it from Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. By the way, just in terms of the Mesorah, so we see over here a discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. So as I mentioned, it's probably Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. The reason why I say that is because we know that Rabbi Meir was a student of Rabbi Akiva. And not only was Rabbi Meir a student of Rabbi Akiva, so was Rabbi Elazar, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, right? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Rabbi Akiva, after having gone through his 24,000 Talmidim and having lost his 24,000 Talmidim, so he started again, right? The Gemara says, even when you're young, you have Talmidim. When you're older, you should continue having Talmidim. We learn it from Rabbi Akiva, and he had five Talmidim. Of the five Talmidim, so one of them was Rabbi Meir, and the other one was Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So probably the gears over here should be Rabbi Elazar. Anyway, but the right, correct, they're correct. So the Ein Chayav Mishum Bias Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Havi Mishum Rav Yeshua Bar Mama Gamila. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're correct. Right. Meaning the Brisa says that when Rabbi Elazar learned the halacha, he did learn it from Rav Yeshua Bar Mama. So Amrush Mamina, Koshmaita Didimitam Rabbi Beitlata, Kadmai Vasray Amrina, Mitzia Lo Amrina. So the Gemara says a rule in terms of giving proper attribution. When you give attribution, so what you should record is the most recent person who said it, the place where it originally came from. Now there's a chain in the middle. It's not necessary. It's certainly not. There's no problem with it, but it's not necessary to mention the middle names of the chain. It's important to mention the beginning of the chain. It's important to mention the most recent link in the chain. But after that, you don't have to mention the links in the middle. So that's what our Mishnah was doing. Our Mishnah was mentioning a halacha that was said by Rabbi Elazar. He said it in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. He didn't receive it directly from Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. There was an intermediary in the middle. There was Rabbi Yoshua ben Mama, Bar Mamal. And we know that because we saw that together in the Brisa. But the Gemara says, but our Mishnah didn't do anything wrong, because our Mishnah was just simply giving us the beginning and the end, and the Mishnah didn't give us the middle. And the Gemara goes on to say, that's a rule where you're going to find precedent, and the Gemara gives an example. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Afan Namitanina. So he says, you know, we learned the same thing as well in the Brisa. Amar Nachman Lavlar Kach Mekhublani Mirabi Mesha. So Rav Nachman the Sofer says that I have a tradition from Rabbi Mesha Shekibo Me'Abba, who had a tradition from Abba. Of Abba over here, not perfectly clear who Abba is making a reference to, but. Excuse me, but he received it as a tradition from a father who, probably his father, Shekibo min Zugos, who received the tradition from the Zugos. Zugos are the pair of Tamid Chachamim, who basically took us from the beginning of Bayit Sheni to somewhere in the middle of Bayit Sheni. The last of the five pairs of Zugos are probably the most famous ones. That's Hillel and Shammai. Right? Their Rebbeim were Shammai and Vavtalion. So he has a tradition. So again, let's go back from the beginning. So Nachum Alavlar gets it from Rabbi Meshu, who gets it from his father, who gets it from the Zugos. Shekib Lumen and Nevi'im, who gets it from the Nevi'im. Halacha Lamoshe Misinai. And they have a tradition, the Nevi'im have it going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is Zoreya. Now let's just go over the halacha. Right now the halacha is tangential, meaning obviously it's important, but for our purposes to make this point, the halacha is tangential. The only point we're just going to bring out right now is that when you have a Mesorah and you're bringing down the Mesorah, most important to bring down the first and the last, and the middle ones you don't have to bring down. The halacha is, let's just go over the halacha, Hazoreya, Shevis, Chardal, Mishlam, Mishoshim, Mekamos. Let's say you plant different types of vegetables. Sheves, it's whatever. It's a, I don't know. It's a.
Dill and mustard.
Okay, dill. Okay, chardal is mustard. So dill, mustard, v'shtayim v'shosh mekamos in two and three different locations. Sheno sein peya mikol echad ve'echad. So we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah that when you have a field, you have to take off a corner of the field and dedicate to the poor people, so the poor people can come and take from the corner of the field. So in terms of the definition of what is a field, and can you have one field but multiple obligations of peya? So the tradition is as halacha l'moshe misinai. Yes, if you're planting different crops, even though it's in the same field, nevertheless you're going to have to identify and designate peah for each and every crop. And he says that's a halacha l'moshe misinai. And again, the halacha obviously is important, but the point the Gemara is trying to bring out right now is one that's very simple, and the Gemara spells it out. The ilu Yehoshua v'kalev lo kachashiv. Meanwhile, as part of the Masara, what happened? We jumped from the Nevi'im back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And we skipped Yehoshua, we skipped Kalev, right? The interesting Kalev over here is identified as part of the Baal HaMasorah. It's part of the general tradition of Halacha Moshe Misinai. In the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, obviously Kalev is not mentioned. Over here Kalev is mentioned, but again, the point the Gemara is making is that Yehoshua wasn't mentioned, and we know he's part of the Masorah. Okay, we know it's part of the Masorah, but when bringing down the Halacha and going back to the Masorah, it's most important to mention the beginning, the end, the middle. Not necessary to mention. It's not bad if you mention it, but it's not necessary to mention. So here also, so when Rabbi Elazar is saying a halacha that he learned from Rav Yehoshua, and he says, I got it from Rav Yehoshua ben Chananya, and we know there's other people in between, that's true, but it's not critical that he mentions it, the people in between. Okay, Adkan, that's the Gemara's point. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara does stand by this position of Rabbi Lazar, even though Rabbi Meir disagrees with it. The halacha of Rabbi Lazar, who has it as a Masara, and that is that basically these two levels of Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis with a Nazir would be Megalech. Tumas Meis with a Nazir would not be Megalech. So not only does it have application in the world of Nazirus, it has applications in other areas of halacha, notably Bias HaMikdash. If you go into the Azara while being a Tumi Meis, so if it's the level of Tumas Meis with a Nazir would be Megalech, so you're Chavim Bias HaMikdash. If it's level B with a Nazir would not be Megalech, so you're not in violation of Bias HaMikdash. Again, not saying it's okay, but you would not be Chav, you wouldn't be a violation of an Issur Karis.
What would the bee do to remove it?
You go same process. Huzzah. Sprinkling of the paraduma. Yeah, so correct. Meaning it's interesting. Meaning it's Tumas Meis. You need a paraduma. And yet, it's still a level lower. Okay? So it's one level lower within the world of Tumas Meis. Right. In other words, he has it as a tradition. So Rav Meir argues because we know that he wanted to compare it to other areas in Tuma. And as I mentioned earlier, I guess what you would say is that you can't compare. And if it's halach l'moshe misinai, you certainly can't compare.
There's certain Tuma that affects the air that has to be
right.
Certain Tuma that doesn't affect the
air. Yeah, but even in level B, there are still it's still Tame through Ohel. Okay. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to come up with some sort of organization of understanding why this is level A and this is level B. I do understand that. Okay? I'm a Rabbi Akiva. We are at the last Mishnah of the 7th Perek. We're on the bottom of Nidvav Amud Beis. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Dante Lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. I try to be done. I try to extract halacha in front of Rabbi Eliezer. And I said as follows. By the way, Rabbi Akiva, one of his Rebbeim, was Rabbi Eliezer. Which again, just supports the idea that I mentioned earlier, that in the previous Mishnah, it's not Rabbi Eliezer, but it's rather Rabbi Lazar. Because again, he's arguing with Rabbi Meir. Him and Rabbi Meir were both students of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva learned under Rabbi Eliezer. It's one of his Rebbeim. Anyway, I'm Rabbi Akiva, Dante Lefnei Rabbi Eliezer. I tried to say the over the following halach in front of Rabbi Eliezer. My metzim kisara sheinu matame adam ba'ol. Look, etzem kisaora, bone chip. So what do we learn in terms of bone chips? Bone chips made it into the Mishnah Memtes. Meaning, it's the type of toma where nazir would be megalech. Now, of course, a bone chip is only metame by magal masa. You only become tame either by physical contact or carrying the bone chip. You don't become tame by being under the same roof as a bone chip. Okay, that's the basic halacha. So he says, And so I'd like to now say the following. So I have Revi'ah's dam, a quarter of a log of blood. Now, remember when we talked about a Nazir being Megalech, how much blood is necessary for Nazir to be Megalech? So again, just go back over the two Mishnayos, Mishnah Memtes and Mishnah Nundalet. So when it comes to Revi'ah's dam, a quarter is not enough. You need a half. You need a Chatzi log. So Rabbi Akiva says, I know the Mishnayos, but Rabbi Akiva says, but what I'd like to suggest is that if a Nazir were to come into contact with Revi'ah's log, so then a Nazir would be Megaleach. And Rabbi Akiva says, and I think it makes sense because if you touch a bone chip, which doesn't even have the power of Tumas Ohel, the Nazir would be Megaleach. If I touched a Revi'ah's of Dam, now I know Revi'ah's Dam is not enough to have a Nazir Megaleach through Ohel, but if the Nazir were to touch it, I think, says Rabbi Akiva, a Nazir would have to be Megaleach. It shouldn't be worse than Etzem Kisaora. And if Etzem Kisaora, it requires a Nazir to be Megaleach by physical contact, I think Revi'ah's Dam as well should have the Nazir be Megaleach through contact. So says Rabbi Akiva. And the response, Revi'ah's Dam Shu Matame Ein Adame O, Ein Odin Shea Nazir Megaleach Al Magav Amasa, Amar Li, Mazi Akiva Ein Danim Kan Kavachomer. And so I said to Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Akiva, Ein Danim. You can't do that. Kami Kavachomer. In other words, your argument is a sound argument, but you can't make that argument. And then I went over to Rabbi Yeshua, and I went over with Rabbi Yeshua. You know, I had a discussion with my student Rabbi Akiva. Here's what he was arguing. Here's what I countered. And Rabbi Yeshua said to me, "You did a good job," meaning correct. So Yafa Amart Elim Kain Ela Kain Amru Halacha. And the reason why you cannot derive a kavachomer is because it's halacha. What exactly does that mean? So you could see this in we're going to see in the Gemara upcoming, but the small amount of Gemara that's remaining. But basically, what's going on over here is as follows: we know one of the ways to generate a halacha is through the Yugimel Midah Shaitan addresses by him, using the 13 principles of Rabbi Yishmael. And the first of the 13 principles of Rabbi Yeshua was what's called Kavachomer. Kavachomer means a logical argument. Right? We come across them just about every other day in the daf. Not that often, but okay. In other words, it comes across very often. What we're about to learn right now, Yesod Gadol, right? A really big principle. And that is that the Yud Gimel Midah Shatan Adreshes Bahem, specifically Kavachomer, can only be applied to Psukim in the Torah. Halacha that's generated by Psukim in the Torah. However, if it's halacha lamoshe misinai, so for that you can't apply the rules of Yud Gimel Midos. And again, specifically, Kal V'chomer. Even though you do have an argument, and Rabbi Akiva over here has a logical argument, it's a very strong, logical, rational argument. If Etzem Kisaora will require a Nazir to be Megaleach, so I'm sorry, if touching Etzem Kisaora requires a Nazir to be Megaleach, touching Revi'ah's Dam also should require the Nazir to be Megaleach. Etzem Kisaora doesn't even give off Tumas Ohel. Revi'ah's Dam does give off Tumas Ohel. So if touching one requires the Nazir Megaleach, touching the Dam, or the Revi'ah's Dam should also require. It is such a strong argument. And meanwhile, the rejection of the argument is that the argument in of itself is fine. The problem is, it's based on Halacha Moshe Misinai. And because it's based on Halacha Moshe Misinai, so therefore, the argument cannot even be made.
Rabbi Akiva did not know this.
Right, so, right, that question, I don't know. He doesn't know the rule, he argues with the rule, I'm not sure, unclear.
Maybe he was in other words, Halacha Moshe Misinai.
Okay, well, that suggestion actually is supportable because you'll see in the Gemara in just a moment, right now, the Gemara itself is going to ask the very question. E ba'ilahu. So now finishing up, we're on the top of Nunzayin and Adalf. The Gemara over here asks a very simple question. Etzim kitsa'ora halacha, or revi'ah's dam kavachomer, ve'in dan kavachomer me halacha. In other words, what exactly was the starting point in terms of halacha Moshe Misinai? Is the halacha of etzim kitsa'ora halacha Moshe Misinai? Meaning, etzim kitsa'ora bone chip. A bone chip is halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning not that it gives off tuma, but that a nazir needs to be megaleach over a bone chip. Is that in of itself a halacha Moshe Mitzinai? And then what Rabbi Akiva was then trying to do is create a kavachomer based on that. That's one possibility. And again, now we're just simply rejected because you can't base a kavachomer off of a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Odilma, the Gemara says, or maybe Revi'ez Dam halacha. Or maybe no. Maybe the Revi'ez Dam is halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Meaning, what's that? The idea that for a Nazir to be Megaleach, even though it's true, a quarter of a log of blood coming off of human remains is Metame Ba'ohal. And yet, when a Nazir goes and he is under the roof of Revi'ez, Nazir is not Megaleach. Why? Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So maybe that's the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai of Etzem Kesorah, Kavachomer. And the Etzem Kesorah is where he's trying to generate the Kavachomer. Vein dana Kavachomer me Halacha. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, but for that we're going to quote Etzem Kesorah Halacha. The Etzem Kesorah is a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Again, the idea that a Nazir is Megaleach on touching a bone chip, that's halacha Moshe Mitzinai, or Revi'ez Dam Kavachomer, and the Revi'ez Dam is what Rabbi Kiva was trying to generate a Kavachomer from the halacha of Etzem Kesara, being done a Kavachomer, mehalacha, and that's what you cannot do. So the Gemara very clearly indicates that it is that even though a bone chip does not give off Tumas Ohel, a Nazir touches the bone chip, he is going to have to be Megaleach. That's Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. And then what Rabbi Kiva tried to get from there, the logical argument of, well, if you touch a bone chip, your nazir is going to be Megaleach. So if you are coming into contact with Revi'ez Dam, so for sure you're going to have to be Megaleach. That's the argument to Rabbi Kiva, to which the Gemara says, good argument, bad starting point. Starting point is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. You can't generate Kavachomer from a Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Now, why that should be, I don't know. I don't have a good explanation of why you can't do that. The only thing I would suggest, just merely suggest, is that the Yud Gimel Midos is only rooted in Torah Shebichtav, meaning it's a way of expounding the Torah Shebichtav, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But once you have Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that kind of, that's not... not to use a good word, but that's not darshanable, meaning that's a halacha, but not something where you can base your Gimel Midos off of.
Because halacha itself is not based on logic. It's one of the things that you can never drive by logic.
Right. I'm thinking something like in those terms. Hadron Lacha Kohen Gadol, that's the end of the seventh parak, and Baruch Hashem, we're going to begin this morning now the eighth parak of the Masechta. Our eighth parak of Masechta is going to deal a lot with Sfeikos. We're going to have a lot of doubts coming up in the course of this eighth parak, and basically a response to the various Sfeikos. So we start off with a story. Shnei Nazirim Shamar Lahem Echad. You have two Nazirim, and the two Nazirim accepted upon themselves to be a Nazir, and they did so together. So that means that the starting point for the two Nazirim started on the same day. Good. That's where the story begins. Story continues where a third person comes over to them and says, you know what? I'm really sorry, right? I saw what happened. Right? What a wonderful idea. The two of you want to become Nazirim. I'm very happy for the two of you. But I will tell you, however, Re'iti Echad Mikem Shenitma Ve'eni Yodei Eze Mikem. I know the following. I know that one of the two of you came into contact with Tumah. I saw it. It was very clear. However, I was at a distance, and I did not know which one of you came into contact with Tumah. So the only thing I'm saying to you definitively is that one of you came into contact with Tumah, but right now the problem, of course, is I cannot tell you which one of you did. Now, that's the story, and the remaining part of this Mishnah is just going to deal with what do we do now in order to resolve this problem. So the problem is that we have two Nazirim, one of them is Tumah, one of them is Tameh, and now we know. For the one that's Tameh, so he's got to bring two sets of Karbanos. One set of Karbanos in order to conclude and to complete his... The Tameh Nazir needs to bring Karbanos for Tumas, for a Nazir B'Tumah. And so now he'll be able to restart his Nazirus once again. And then another time he's going to have to bring his Karban to properly conclude his Nazirus, B'Tahara. And the other Nazir only needs to bring one set of Karbanos, because he's a Nazir Tahor. So he only needs to bring the Karbanos that would conclude his Nazirus B'Tahara. Here, of course, the problem lies in the fact that We don't know which one of them is a Nazir Tamei and which one's a Nazir Torah. So here's what we do. Says the Mishnah. Megalchon Mavin Karban Tumah, Vikarban Tara. So here's what we're going to do 30 days from now. We're going to have them, the two of them, bring two sets of karbanos. One being a karban of Nazir B'Tumah and the other one being a set of Nazir B'Tahara. Remember that they're not exactly the same karbanos. A Nazir Tamei is going to bring three karbanos, but the three karbanos that he's going to bring is a chatas and an ola and an asham. Right, two birds and an animal. The two birds are a chatas and an ola, and the animal is going to be an asham. A Nazir B'Tahara is also going to bring three karbanos, but his three karbanos are going to be ola, shlamim, and chatas. So obviously the two different sets of karbanos are two different sets. Literally, different sets. So, after on day 30, so what the two of them are going to do is that they're going to bring two sets of karbanos. One for the Nazir B'Tumah and the other one for Nazir B'Tahara. V'omer. And Danny, you've been around long enough. V'omer, and they're going to say the following. Emani utame karban tumah shali v'karban tahara shalcha. If I'm the tame one, so good. So I'll use the tame for myself, and obviously the tahara will be for you. V'imani hu atar karban tahara shali v'karban tumah shalcha. And if the if you're the nazir tahara, or I should say rather, if you're the nazir tame, so good. So then the carbon tummy will be for you and the carbon tummy will be for me. Good. Visofrim shloshim yom. And now what you're going to do is you're going to count another 30 days. Umivin carbon tahara. And here you're going to bring a carbon for a carbon tahara. V'omer. Emani uatami carbon tuma shali v'carbon tahara shalcha. V'ze carbon tahara si. So then on the 60th day, so you only bring one set of karbanos for a nazir tahor, and basically each one says to the other, this will be for whoever needs it. If you are the nazir tahor, so you're already good and I'm the one who needs it. If I'm the nazir tahor, so then I'm good and you're the one who needs it. Okay, so that will be how these two nazirim could offset each one of their and their friends' obligations of the karbanos.
So they bring a total of
three sets of karbanos. Correct.
But the thing is that, how could there be a conditional thing with a karban chatas?
Right. That in of itself is a good question. Generally speaking, by chatas, it has to be lishma.
Right.
And so that in of itself is a good question. I was curious also. Okay. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't have a good answer.
But it has to be done with lishma. So
right. Correct. Understood. Your question is well accepted. Kitani shnei nazirim shamar lahem reisi echad mikem shenitma ve'eni yodea ezemechem ve'amai. So the Gemara now starts off with really a basic question, and it's one that almost is like an intro to our next Masechta. Next Masechta we're doing after Masechta Nazir is going to be Masechta Sota. And just as a little bit of background, what happens in the world of Sota? What happens is that a husband and his wife, unfortunately, are not having the best relationship, and she right now is hanging out with another guy. And her husband obviously is very jealous, and the husband says to her, this is not working, and I don't like you hanging out with that guy, and he gives her an official warning. Right, what's called what the Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Sota describes as kina. He's mekane. It literally means jealousy, but in the context of the Mishnayos, it means that he warns her. So he officially warns her in front of witnesses, and he says, "Do not hang out with that guy anymore. I do not like it. I do not want you to seclude yourself with that man anymore." And then what happens is, against her husband's warning, she goes ahead and she secludes herself with that man. So a pair of witnesses see her. The first Mishnah in Sota discusses if I need witnesses for both the Kina and the Stira. Okay, but anyway, she goes and she secludes herself with that man, even though, despite the fact that her husband warned her not to do that, she did it anyway. Okay, now, at that point in time, the witnesses saw nothing more than her and this man seclude themselves in a room. And we do not know what happened in that room. Obviously, it's suspicious. Obviously, in of itself, that's, you know, it's not going to be good for the marriage. But she does it anyway. At that point in time, she has a status. And she has the status now of being a sota. She, at that point in time, even though the witnesses cannot identify what happened in that room, they simply don't know. Nevertheless, from that point going forward, she is prohibited to her husband, even though we don't know what happened in that room. So, what do we see? That despite the fact that we don't know what happened in that room, she is a safek. Nevertheless, she's given the status of being a sota. She is forbidden to her husband. Now, this is talking about a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, and this has nothing to do with tumah. However, the Torah, when describing the sota, the Torah uses the word tumah. And from there, the Gemara says, in a number of places, right here being one of them, that because the Torah uses the word tumah to describe the whole scenario of sota, we're going to learn a most basic rule in the world of tumah. And that is, safek tumah. If I have a doubt of tumah, so the following distinction is made. Safek tumah b'rishus hayachid. If the safek tumah occurs in a private area, what does private mean? It does not mean what it means by Shabbos of Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Rabbin. Private just simply means that there were two people and no more than two people involved. Meaning, this woman, this wife, together with the other man, not her husband, went off into a room and secluded themselves in a room. We don't know what happened in that room. That is Safek Tumah b'Rishus Yachid. Rishus Yachid means just simply that there were two people involved. So, Sfeiko Tameh.
There are three people involved.
Three people involved, but only two people. But only two people in the room. Only two people in the room. Sfeiko tame. The halacha is that the suffix of such a scenario is tame. And again, even though the Torah is giving us this example by husband and wife, in this case, the wife and some other man, but still, the same thing would be true in the world of tuma. If there was a suffix of tuma, and there were two people involved, one or two people involved, the halacha is sfeiko tame. If, however, there were three people involved, meaning if there was a third person in that room, so then, sfeiko tahor. So under those circumstances, she is not given the status of a sota, and therefore the status would be that she is tahora. Similarly, if we had a case of tumah, where there's a suffix and three people were involved, so the halach would be sfeiko tahor. Those are the rules. The basic rules of sota, and its application to the world of tumah. So over here now, the Gemara is going to ask a wonderful question. Really powerful question. And that is, in our story in the Mishnah, how many people were involved? Three. So in the world of Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Harabim, what does that put under the category of? That's called a Rishus Harabim. So what should be the halacha in our Mishnah? It's tahor. That's the Gemara's question. Ketani, let's see the Gemara inside. Shnei Nizirim Sharma Lam Risiach Mekem Shinim Avinu Odeh Meizim Mekem Vamai Kol Safik Tumah Rishus Yachid Mehecha Yafin Anala. Now we're talking about Safik Tumah. And where do we learn the halachas of Safik Tumah from? We learn it from Sota, Misota. Ma Sota Bol Veniva Elas Av Kol Safik Tumah Rishus Yachid Kigon Deika Beitrei. So that means then that the only time that we're going to be Machmir on a Safik is only when two or fewer people are involved. Like the case of the sota, avahacha shnei nazirim v'hai dekai gabon. But over here we're talking about two nazirim plus the other person who makes an accusation that one of the two of you are tummy. Ha tlasa hava. So here our easiest math of the day is going to be 2 plus 1. 2 plus 1 equals 3. And so 3 is, in the world of sota, a rishus harabim. So what should be the halacha? The halacha should be tahor. So havale tlasa havale safik tumah b'rishus harabim. V'chol safik tumah b'rishus harabim sfeiko tahor. That is the Gemara's question. It is a very strong question. Okay. Bi'omer. Sorry, let me give proper attribution. After the beginning of the daf today, I should. Amar Rava Barav Huna. Be'omer isi tumah shenizrika b'nechem. So, Rabbi Baravuna, in explanation of our Mishnah, says that what the third person said is as follows. I wasn't there. Meaning, in terms of the definition of Rishus Harabim, it has to be three people within proximity of one another. The third person is saying, look, here's the story. From a distance, I saw one of the two of you come into contact with tumah. I wasn't there, but I saw it. And so therefore, in the world of Rishus Harabim, this does not qualify as Rishus Harabim. For Rishus Harabim, you need three people within proximity of one another. But Omer Isi Tumah Shenizrika B'nechem, I saw the tumah being thrown to the one of the two of you. I saw it hit one of the two of you. I don't know which one. But still, because he was not within proximity, because he was at a distance, therefore he doesn't count as the third, and that's why this falls under the category of Safik Tuma. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami. Now, I'm going to come back. We're going to turn the page backwards in just a moment. First, let's go forwards. Amar Rav Ashi, the Gemara said, Dekanami Dektani. You read the Mishnah. This pshat is the correct pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually pretty much says it. I don't know which one of you. Meaning, his vantage point was from a distance. It wasn't from a close-up perspective. And there was no instant replay. And so therefore, he doesn't count as one of the three. It's two, and then there was a separate one. But it wasn't three. Ad Khan, that is his explanation of our Mishnah. Okay. With that stated, now let's ask another very strong question. When I say let's, I really mean let's see Tosfos together. What did we just see in our Gemara? That our case in the Mishnah is talking about where there were two Nazirim, and yes, there was a third person, but he's off at a distance, so he doesn't count in the world of Rishus Arachim, Rishus Yachim versus Rishus Arachim. So really, what are we looking at over here? We're looking at two people. One of the two becomes Tamei. We don't know which one. And what's our rule? Our rule is Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid Tame. So now, let's think about this. If the rule is Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid Tame, what should be our conclusion regarding each one of the Nazirim? Our conclusion should be that not one of the two is Tame, but rather both of them should be Tame. If the rule is Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid is Tame, so now let's not say one of them is Tame, let's now say both of them are Tame, because the rule applies to each one. Tosfos asks this very question. Last Tosfos on the Amud, Ba'omer Isi, Shenizrika Tuma Beinechem. V'hu Omein Merachok, he's at a distance, Davi Safik Tuma B'Rishus Yachid. And therefore, this falls under the category of Rishus Yachid. Good. V'im Tomar, Im Ken Yavi Kol Echad Karban Tuma. Let each of the two Nazirim bring a Karban Tuma. Vadai. And because each one of them now is ruled Tame. Just like in the case of Sota. We don't know what happened to the two of them in the room. And what do we say? She has a status of being Tame. The man that was in the room, has a status of, well, his status is, you know, he whatever. Let's focus on her. She has a status of being a Tame, even though we don't know what happened. So here also, let's say that each one of them is now given a status. And Tosfos just wants to amplify the point that, look, in the case of Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid, if it were Truma, let's say that we're involved in the Safik, you know what we do with Truma? We'd burn the Truma. What does that tell us? It tells us that it's not really, it's a Safik, but the status change is so effective that it will permit us to burn Truma. If we don't know Truma's Tame, we would never burn Truma. Because burning Truma is the destruction of Truma. We're only going to destroy Truma if we know for sure it's Tame. For Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid, we're going to burn Truma. So that just simply tells us it has undergone a total transformative status change. Here too, let's say each Nazir now should go through a status change. V'yei Shlomar. So Tosfos over here gives a Yesod Gadol, really, again, a fundamental rule, and that is the following. The Lo Gemir Misota Ela Davar She'ef Shalios Kesota. The Efshar the Nitmes. Ava Hacha Lo Efshar L'Tuma Shneim Devada Echa Tahar. Tosfos says like this. Look. In the prototype case of Safik Tuma, which is the case of Sota, she and this other man go and seclude themselves in a room. There is a possibility that they had relations, and she defiled herself by having relations with another man other than her husband. Now, that's a possibility. What is the Torah teaching us? Because of that possibility, so now she goes through a transformative status change. She's now a Sota. Okay. Because there is a real possibility that that's what happened. Here in the case of the Nazir, two people, two of them are Nazirim. Tuma touches one of them. It's not, and we know that for a fact. We know for a fact that the Tuma touched one of the two, we just don't know which one. It is not within the realm of possibility that both of them are Tame. All we know simply is that one of them is Tame. We're not going to learn from Sota something which is possible, something which is impossible. Right, the Gemara, Tosfos doesn't use this terminology, but the Gemara, a number of places says, "Ein danin efshar mishi efshar." Right, in other words, there's something which is in the realm of possibility, and something which is not within the realm of possibility. Here, in our case, it's not possible that both of them become tamei, and so therefore, we can't therefore conclude each one of them is going to become tamei because we just simply know that's not a possibility. So it's again, a lot of thought needs to be applied over here. Basically, what comes out from this Tosos is that we'll learn out some halachas from Sota, but it has its limitations. Here's a good example of limitation. In the world of Sota, she's a Vaday Sota, even though we don't know what happened. In our case over here, each person is Tameh, but only Misafek. So it's a limitation in terms of what we're ready to generate from the halachas of Sota. Okay, there's more to this Tosos. That truth of the matter is, the second half of Tosos is also just as important. Let's do a little bit more Gemara for today. Oh, that's the next topic of discussion. Good. Megalchen Mevi'in. Okay, so what happens, says the Mishnah, is that they shave. Because you got to, because that's what's required. So, Amai Demalav Temeininu Vekavida Kafa. So the Gemara says, interesting. The person who was not Tamei. Okay. In other words, of the two Nazirim, one is Tamei, one is Tara. So the first round of Karbanos, so they're both going to shave their hair, and that's fine. Because the Tamei one is going to bring his Karbanos Betumah. The Tara one is going to bring his Karbanos Betahara. Fine. And they're both going to shave. That's wonderful. But now we get to the second round. Now in the second round, one of them needs to shave, and the other one doesn't. One of them was a Nazir Tamei, and now in the second round, he's now bringing his Karbanos for because now he's finishing his Nazir Betahara. And the other one is already 30 days ago, has concluded his Nazirus. So that, what does that mean now in the second round? It means that in the second round, somebody's shaving his head, and he doesn't need to. Now. Right. So let's think this through. There is something wrong with that. And that is, the Torah prohibits us from cutting off the corners of our head. Okay? Hakafas arosh. We're not allowed to round off the corners of our head. So for the Nazir, so as we learned earlier in the Masechta, even though that's a prohibition, but for the Nazir, it's a mitzvah. The Torah says, I know, generally speaking, you're not allowed to, but you're allowed to. Right? What we Gemara refer to as essay to being docholos asay. But over here now, how in the second round can we simply allow both of them to shave when for one of them it's a mitzvah and for another one it's an isser? Okay? It is the Russian roulette of the second round. So the amai demalav lav tamein in of a kavid hakafa amr shmuel be isha v'katan. So Shmuel gives an interesting resolution to the problem. And that is that our Mishnah is going to have limited application. Our Mishnah is only talking about where these two people in question were either women or they were children, who are not bound by the prohibition of rounding off their head. Women, the Mishnah Kedushin tells us, are bound by all 365 negative prohibitions of the Torah, except for three. In other words, three Isurim in the Torah that women are not bound by. And two of them have to do with hair on their head. Hakafas Arosh and Hashchatas Hazikan. Rounding off the corners of the head, women are not bound by that Isser. Shaving any hair on their face, women are not bound by that Isser. Two Isurim in the Torah that women are not bound by. And a third, just to remember the Mishnah Kedushin, the third is a woman Kohen can, in fact, go into a cemetery. And she does not have the Isser of Tumas Meis. So, our Mishnah is talking about where the two Nazirim in question were women or children. So So the Gemara says, isn't there a third suggestion that Shmuel could have made? And isn't that third suggestion could be that, look, the Torah's prohibition is only for rounding off the corners of your head. However, for the Nazir, he's not rounding off the corners of his head, shaving his whole head. So maybe there's no Isser in the Torah for shaving off all your hair. Why didn't Shmuel give that suggestion? And the Gemara says the question becomes the answer. Because Shmuel's of the opinion, and we've seen this before, and we're going to see this again, that Shmuel's of the opinion that even though the Torah prohibits rounding off the corners of your head, if you round off the corners of your head, and then you cut off all the rest of your hair as well, that's still going to be a violation of Hakafas Arosh, and that's going to be prohibited. That's why Shmuel didn't give that answer. Because Shmuel's of the opinion, that's still a violation of the Torah. So therefore, the only way the Mishnah works, according to Shmuel, is only when the Nazirim in question were either women or they were children. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the more discussion of Hakafas Arosh. Tomorrow, by the way, a very practical discussion in the Gemara regarding the prohibition of Hakafas Arosh. In the meantime, however, just as a quick recap, the halakha today that we saw in the name of Rebbe Lazar, who called the name of Rebbe Yeshua, two levels of Tumas Meis. Only when you are on level A of Tumas Meis, meaning the Mishnah Mem Tes, then you're in violation of Bias HaMikdash when with that comes with it the Issur Kares. Rabbi Akiva wanted to learn that coming into contact with Revias Dam, even though Ohel Tumas Ohel Revias Dam is not going to require Nazir Mimigalech, but Maga, touching Revias Dam for the Nazir would require Giluach. He bases it on a logical argument from Etzem Kisaora, the Gemara's conclusion, you can't learn Kavachomer if it's based off Halacha Moshe Misinai. And finally, our big discussion for today, the beginning of the 8th Perek, the case of the Shnei Nazirim, where one of them becomes Tameh. We learned some basic halachas regarding Safik Tumah Bershus Yachid, Safik Tumah Bershus Rabim. We discussed today a limitation of, even though we do know Safik Tumah Bershus Yachid is Tameh, but in terms of applying it to other areas of Tumah, Tosas made a distinction today between Efshar versus Efshar. If, and like in our case, in our Mishnah, where both of them can't be Tamei, so we're only going to say that each one of them is Tamei only through Suffolk. The Mishnah's resolution of how do they deal with it, and then the Gemara's comment, which we're going to continue tomorrow, in that our Mishnah can only be talking about women and children, because if our Mishnah we're talking about men, we know that one of the two Nazirim in round two is no longer a Nazir. He's prohibited from rounding off his head, and that can't be. In other words, there's no way the Mishnah would allow someone to round off his hair if he's no longer a Nazir. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow.